Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today, taking a trip today to the bank, the Carbon Bank, with Scott Yeager in just a moment.
I'm a cotton farmer.
I'm BASF.
I'm made of grit, passion, and hands that never stop working.
I'm made of agronomics, innovation, and hands that never stop helping.
I believe cotton isn't a crop. It's a calling. I'm made to grow it.
Protect it.
I know this is important to my family.
Every family.
That's why I work harder.
Innovate better.
To make my cotton as good as it can be.
As protected as it can be.
I'm a cotton farmer.
I'm BASF.
We create chemistry.
Never before have two genes for barley yellow dwarf resistance been stacked into a single Central Plains cultivar. It's Uncharted, another in the innovative new wheat varieties created by OSU researchers and marketed through Oklahoma Genetics. The second gene from intermediate wheatgrass gives a unique level of protection to BYD, keeping the plant green right up until maturity. With Duster and Bentley parentage, Uncharted is well adapted to the Central Corridor and tolerates heavy grazing. Go where you've not gone before with wheat production with Uncharted. Log on to OKGenetics.com to learn more.
One more bite of the apple with the Chief Environmental Counsel of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Scott Yeager. Today, we're going to head to the bank with Scott, the Carbon Bank, the concept of which has raised a lot of interest among cattle producers.
Let's talk about making money, carbon markets. Is that going to work or not?
I think that's the question everybody's asking, myself included. I mean, there's a lot of interest right now in carbon markets, and I feel like we're seeing these carbon markets pop up every other week. There's a new one. I mean, I was putting together a presentation about carbon markets for the PREM committee, and I feel like between the time I started that presentation, building the PowerPoint, and finishing it, there was two more carbon markets that popped up that I had to add on to the slides. So these things are coming up like weeds, because I think there's a lot of interest, not only because the Biden administration is in power and they have a big interest in climate, but also because all these corporate interests are now putting together these climate goals, and they're saying, hey, by 2050, we're going to do X, Y, Z. By 2040, we're going to reduce our supply chain's emissions by 30%. And what that means, if they're really going to, in good faith, try to accomplish those goals, they're going to need to pay farmers who are doing the right thing to sequester carbon. They can achieve those goals. So that's a theory. If that plays out the way I just laid it out, then yeah, there's going to be a demand for producers to sequester carbon in the ground. But there's a lot of tricky, thorny issues that are create this minefield for producers. For the cattle industry specifically, the issue of early adopters is a very thorny one. And early adopters means if you've got someone who's already been doing the right thing by doing rotational grazing and sequestering carbon in the ground, having their cattle graze these grasses and create deeper root zones, which are storing more carbon in the soil, since they've already been doing it, none of these carbon markets want to pay them for it because it's already work that's been done. They just want to pay you for doing something extra. That's called additionality. If you're doing something additional, that might be something that you could generate a credit for and sell into the marketplace. And that's a huge problem for us, because we've had producers that have been doing the right thing for a long time, that have been good stewards of the land, and there needs to be a way to compensate them and reward them for doing that. Otherwise, you're creating the perverse incentive of, well, if you can't get accident, we'll quit or do things the wrong way, and then you can get paid for fixing it. So there is a need to fix that. That is a major problem in the system. But a lot of people are interested. They want to know, hey, what does this look like? What's the landscape? And right now, it's basically the Wild West. Mm-hmm. Each of these carbon markets have their own rules, protocols, contract lengths, all this other stuff that if you are a producer interested, you need to go to each one and have an in-depth conversation about what all the requirements are, what you're committing yourself and your land to, and then what that all looks like before you make a decision. But again, it's voluntary. Mm-hmm. You want to do it, go for it. If you don't want to, don't do it. This is not a government mandate. This is truly a free market enterprise.
I guess wait for a better offer, huh?
Wait for a better. If it was me, listen, I think I'm a very risk-averse person. I want to see what the lay of the land is before I dip my toes in it, and I think that's probably what a lot of producers are of that mindset right now. So they're kind of watching, they're learning, they're trying to get as much information as they can, mm-hmm. and seeing how these things play out. I mean, there's some really interesting examples out there of producers getting a check for $75,000. Now, is that going to be the standard, or is that kind of an outlier? And that's one of the, we don't have the answer to that question yet.
Right. You know, you mentioned the idea of folks that have already been doing the right thing. Well, they did that in the past, but if they don't maintain those practices, they're not going to be able to continue that good work as far as sequestering carbon. It did make a lot of sense that we claim that it's already been done.
That's right, and that's why I think we need to find a way to pay someone for maintenance. And maybe that's the way we could look at it. It's maintaining the sequestration of that carbon in grasslands, and we can pay them for next year maintaining that and keep doing what they're doing because it's what's keeping it in the ground. And maybe that's how we break through here and try to get these markets to say, okay, yeah, that is an additional value because you're coming back next year and you're keeping it in the ground.
NCBA Scott Yeager, you've got the beef buzz on Ron. Well, cattle producers, I'm really pleased to tell you about the 37th Labor Day sale of Superior Livestock coming up the 8th and 9th of September. It'll be broadcast live on Dish Network Satellite 997 and on SuperiorClickToBid.com each day at 8 a.m. Central Time. 73,000 head will be offered. For details, go to SuperiorLivestock.com or call Superior Livestock at 800-422-2117. Superior Livestock. And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.